You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Welcome back, Amy.
Welcome. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm good today. Just a bit, you know, under the hammer. Busy.
Well, it's our last one, so let's enjoy it.
Yeah, and I'm very excited that we've got David Merritt for our final Who Arted Together.
I'm excited too. Thank you for organising this today. We have David Merritt, fresh off the bus from Wellington.
I am David Merritt, fresh
Hello.
Off the bus.
Morning. How are you, David?
Tired. If you must know, I'm tired. Yeah,
I collected him straight from the bus stop this morning to make sure that we had him here.
Well, thank you for taking the time and
otherwise,
energy.
I would just end up on the pokies, wouldn't I?
Make it up.
City, you know, there it is.
Oh yeah, straight there.
Yeah.
David is performing tonight at the Golden Dawn at 8:45 with Liam Kiley as part of Taniwha in the River of Love, Found and Lost in Places.
Found and Lost in Places.
Well, you put a full stop in there, so that's gone all the way through.
I mean, you know, I should put a comma or
a semicolon.
Yeah, but
you're a poet, so
I've got a license, so I can just reinvent punctuation, no problem.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's free entry, poetry racks available from 7 p.m. Mm. Actually, poetry racks?
Poetry racks.
Are you talking about the little toaster racks that...
Now rebranded as poetry racks.
Oh,
or even better, hashtag poetry rack.
Wow. I saw one in Amy's house, first of all, David. Can I just tell this little story?
Oh, no.
Saw this beautiful silver toast rack with the poems, and I thought it looked so gorgeous, and I knew that they were yours. Or maybe I didn't at that point. Anyway,
I would have told you.
And then I saw one at Golden Dawn, and so I made it my mission to go and find my own. I copied. Mm. I totally copied.
No, I didn't know this.
A silver, and I've got it at home. I should have taken a photo of it. Well, the books are here now because I brought them in.
If you notice on the back of the Golden Dawn books, they all say, like, stolen from the Golden Dawn.
Oh, good. Mm. They should.
A strange business model. I go there and steal the books, then sell them back to them later. How could I listen, Matthew?
Their very own editions.
Yes.
You would have seen on my ones that I stamped the back of them and signed them all myself as well, which
I encourage people to counterfeit my work all
that's
the time.
Right.
Branded them all for me.
Yep.
Ralphini.
Yeah. Nice.
So anyway, moving right along.
Yeah, right, let's get out of this shallow water into the deep stuff, shall we?
What have you been up to in Wellington?
A 24-hour stopover, see my son, do some bookmaking, go to the National Library, restock a shop or two, and then catch the bus. Before that I was in Nelson, before that I was in Motueka, before that I was in Blenheim, before that I was in Christchurch, before that I was in Oamaru, before that I was in Dunedin.
Wow.
10 days ago I was in Dunedin.
Do you have a fixed abode?
No. Yes, I do. I technically have a place to live in the middle of nowhere, but as the career appears to be like moving in strange directions, I don't go home very often. In fact, I had 14 days, I think, consecutive days at home for the first time in 2 years.
Wow.
Oh, well, it's the, you know, it's what you do. There's a syndrome which a lot of touring musicians are aware of too, when you just tour constantly and you think, why do I do this? You know, where is home? It's like, normally it's the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you owe this to? What do you attribute it to, the recent kind of changes?
I'm on the verge of what my son calls hockey stick growth.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Explain. I've
been doing this about 7 years, going around the country, making little books, selling and giving away, and I have been noticing that it's like a slow, linear, sell a bit more, do a bit more every year, but in the last 18 months, Hamish, my eldest son, now says, Dad, you're on the verge of exponential hockey stick growth.
Does that mean you're just about to go and explode?
It means that sometime in the next 2 years, a million people will give me 50 cents, yes.
Yeah. That's a slow curve with art in that respect.
And if you put in hard work, eventually, if your constellations are all in alignment and the planets are all there, it eventually will pay off if you're lucky, touch wood.
It's a slow turning
wheel. Be lucky,
wheel.
David, touch wood.
Be lucky, touch wood.
Yeah.
But your poetry is beautiful, and I love the honesty and the...
Shucks, thank you. In the job description, I think, to be, you know, beautiful and honest and sensitive and cranky and grumpy all at the same time.
David, we'd really love you to read a poem for us.
Aww.
But I also want to pick your mind a little bit about the current state of poetry in New Zealand.
Should we start with a poem?
Because then if he's
breaking it up.
Okay.
This poem's called Nerves.
Do you mind the music?
No. I'm starting to like the nerves I get before some of the readings. It's a mixture of excitement and don't fuck it up fear. You want to be the best you can be, and you've been doing it for ages, and it's second nature now, and you've earned your license to speak, so to speak. But you know, you can't become complacent or lazy. You need the challenges of the new, the untried, the impromptu. You will improvise and you will bullshit. You will make stuff up on the spot. You will play the palms like a hand of poker or 500, feeling for an emotional intensity and a continuity of theme. You don't want to be boring or be too sad or talk about the ex-wives or be too angry or glib, though glib gets you a long way, but nowhere you want to be. And then there's a thing called balance and order and chaos. They're realms you operate well inside of, and at times well outside of. Remember to drink some water. Remember to slow down. Remember to allow for silence. Anyway, audience, I will shuffle those papers tonight, and the pages, they're going to fly off in all directions. You have just got to hang on, full stop. Palm ends, full stop.
Awesome.
I'm getting nervous because now I'm getting professors of English literature coming to my poetry readings, and they really scare me.
Oh, do you get so you do get nervous?
Well, hell yeah.
Obviously, you just said that.
Yeah, I get nervous.
Yep. And that's the performative aspect rather than the words?
It's a sign that you kind of care about what you're doing, and I haven't quite been able to harness the, harness the bad into the good all the time.
I like the energy that comes through with nerves, especially when reading poetry.
Yeah.
In some areas where you kind of tighten up the speaking and it comes through, I think it adds much more to it.
I mean, once you start to read poems, they transition. You are mentally adding words, taking words out, pausing, repeating phrases, whatever. If the poems just stay on a page and are read, they will stay like that forever. It's only when you read them that they will A, possibly improve, or B, the poet will get something more out of them by performing them than what they got by just writing them down.
Mm.
I'm trying not to be profound, but you've both got that stunned mullet looks on your face.
It's just nice.
No, I love
it. It's lovely to hear you talk as well.
Cool.
So for people that haven't seen the books, I suppose, these poetry books they're single poems.
They're single sheet poems because I'm reinventing the economics of publishing poetry. Normally poets are encouraged to put 25 or 30 poems into a collection, shop them around to a publisher. The publisher gets 500 made in China, brings it back into the country. They go to the 9 retail bookshops that will sell poetry up and down the country. The poet or the writer will end up as a very thin slice of luncheon meat between two huge slabs of white bread. One's called the publisher, the other one's called the book retailer. The economic return for your sensitive book of 30 poems would be $2.25.
Wow.
So I rejected that model pretty much straight away. I thought, this isn't going to work. So I thought, okay, just endlessly make single sheet publications, do them in a way that is environmentally friendly, use old crap books like Reader's Digest condensed books, use a rubber stamp pad set so you own your own means of production, make it simple and transparent how you do it with a stapler and a glue stick and a photocopy. Like, anybody can do this. I'm sitting around waiting for other poets to start doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you've sold them at Zine Fest.
I've sold them everywhere now.
On the side of K Road.
Yep.
I was just reading an interview where you said it's interesting the people that do come up, and people your age often will frown or glare.
Correct.
And keep walking. And
correct.
Young people come up and touch them and look at them. And
young people have much more inquiring and inquisitive minds than, say, the people of the age group of my generation. That's true. And the appeal is largely across a generation to the generation of my own children. And that's a deliberate thing by me. My generation's a bit of a lost generation in their own funny way. They're obsessed with property values and, you know, big plasmas. And I suspect the younger people are not so obsessed by those, you know, curious trappings of consumerist desire.
Are you worried by the technological takeover, though? Young people on their phones walking down the street?
I'm worried about everything. It's in the job description to worry about everything. And the technological takeover with the smartphone is just one small part of the bigger picture that's going on around the world. We are slowly sleepwalking our way to an early extinction if we're not careful, and playing Pokemon Go on the way. Yeah, it's strange.
That app.
Yeah, that app. I'm young enough to remember when Pokemon first came out. I can remember Tamagotchis, you know, those little things that you had, you know, you had to...
I had a fish and I drowned it.
I had a lizard and I killed it, of course. Yeah.
So disappointing.
I know. But it just tells me that there must be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle revival coming soon as well, unless it's already been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I wouldn't mind getting a Tamagotchi. I always wanted the baby one or the kitten one. They were like real people.
Mm, they were.
We've got a call. Should we take it?
Yeah.
Scary.
Hello, BFM.
Hello. David, brother. It's Bruce
yes.
here.
Hello there.
Hey, I'm an avid collector of... I'll be very quick.
Yep.
Because it's David's voice that should be heard, not mine. But, Dave, I'm an avid collector of David's work. And not only is... It's not just a poetry. It's contextual delivery within the frame he puts it in his little booklets, where those booklets come from, how they're printed.
Mm.
It's sort of pre-digital in a beautiful, beautiful way. And I just be honest, I feel very privileged.
Uh-huh.
To, I've known David for many, many years, but just casually, but I feel very privileged to have a good collection of his works, which of course I only want to add to.
Mm.
Mm.
And David, you were talking about once you get so many, because I've got quite a lot, you can get... you.
Poetry Rex, that's right.
Yeah,
you get a
hey, look, you have a wonderful day, David.
Thank you.
And I just also like to say, I see you as a real artist. You're
Shucks.
Not, you know, you don't worry about how people, what clothes you wear, and et cetera, et cetera. What you worry about is getting down to the art and the concepts in the mind. And it's
Thank
real.
You, Bruce. That's really nice of you to say that.
Well, it's just true,
Shucks,
brother.
I'm blushing
hey, you,
like crazy
you have a beautiful
now.
Day, and I'm going to go back and listen to the rest of your talk.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Next time I see you, I'll buy some books.
Yeah,
buy some
you.
More of your work, please.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Right,
bye.
Thank you.
Yes, certainly David's works are like morsels of culture. If you're lucky enough to find him and buy one directly off him, I suggest you do so. Tonight he can be seen at Golden Dawn.
8:45.
8:45 on the dot.
Poetry Racks will be out at 7.
Yes, out the back in the Tinder Room.
Ah.
Tinder Room?
Oh, you know, out the back at the Golden Dawn, it's, you know...
It's become the Tinder Room now, has it?
I mentally named it that, yes.
Now it has.
Would you like to finish on a poem?
I'd love to finish on a poem.
Thank you, David.
This one's called Listen. You stand around at home for 48 minutes of peace. You're content in the middle of midnight. You're a chance visitor out of the blue. There's no warning. You just turn up and there you are, home. You light a candle and you listen, but your head will be full of static and high-pitched frequencies. It's silent outside and you listen for the creak, murble, burble and the sound of the gentle swish of the wind in the pine trees. You listen and it is silent, but your head is full of urban hoo-ha. You listen and you turn on the radio to displace the hum, but after a while you turn the radio off and you just listen and slowly you relax. It's been a long, long day and it's midnight already, marked by the first cigarettes of a new, new day. You stand at the door of the shack and you moonbathe in the full moon moonlight and you breathe in some clean air off a mountain. You feel the swirl of breezes in the long grass and you watch the red eye flash of the young cattle beasts in the torchlight. You listen. You remember to listen for the plover, the moorpork, the sheep, the duck and the horse's footfalls running in the darkness overhead up a hill. You just listen. And then the dogs, they bark in nearby distance. And then you hear another, and then another, and then another dog barking faintly up and down the valley. Full stop. Poem ends, full stop. Thank you, you two. Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
You'd like, be really nice. Cool.
It's been so special to have you on the show this morning.
I'm just pleased it hasn't been the breakfast show with Mike Hosking. He says.
Slightly different experience.
Well, you know,
then,
I know people will start shooting at me with a sniper rifle.
I put it to the listeners this morning that I have a room full of possessions that I need to get rid of before I move.
Yep.
And I think you may have gone through something similar.
Downsizing, yes.
How do you do it?
You just chuck it all away.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't touched it in 6 months, it ain't worth your time of day anymore. If it's an object that you continuously are drawn back to or use on a day-to-day basis, sure. But if it's just been sitting there for 6 months, out it goes, because you can get more of that stuff.
I can give it away.
You can.
I also find if you have an intermediary pile, so throw, not sure, and keep.
Yes.
Then you can go back through the
wise option. Advice, yes.
Thank you very much, David Merritt,
thank you.
For your poetry and advice.
Thank you for your lovely show this morning, and you too, Amy.
Thank you.
Mm. Thank you so much, Amy, for organising this, and thank you for all your hard work with Huarted this year. You've been amazing.
I'll miss you, darling.
Mm. I'll miss you too, and I'll always remember our little chats and trips.
Shucks.
So Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.